for that. All right, thanks, Brother Paul, for that. I feel a bit like a wimp tonight. Here's Paul up here with a short sleeve shirt on, waving his arms, and I'm bundled up here tonight. So. I'm a wimp. Sorry. He's a show off, though. All right, Matthew chapter 13. I pray you've had a good week so far. Losing my voice a little bit, so I apologize for that. But here in Matthew chapter 13, won't be too long this evening. Matthew chapter 13, and I just want to look at a parable quickly tonight and draw some applications from the parable in Scripture here. And as you're aware, there's only one interpretation of Scripture, but many applications of Scripture, and so we won't focus on the interpretation tonight, but we'll look at an application in a couple of those this evening, and won't be too long here tonight. But here in Matthew chapter 13, and verse number 24, we'll read there and start there and then down to verse number 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In fact, later on in this chapter, the disciples caught Jesus, and this is a chapter filled with parables as Jesus is teaching his disciples and teaching others around him. In fact, later on in this chapter, verse number 36, then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And so this one in particular really stood out to them. And so later on in the course of their conversation, the disciples asked Jesus to explain what he meant by that, because we understand parables do that. They reveal truth to those who want to hear something from God, but they also conceal truth to those who don't want anything to do with God. And so disciples want to know the understanding of the parable. And so if you want to know the interpretation of that parable just read, you can read that later on in your own time. And it's really dealing with the children of Israel and the judgments and everything happening there in the millennial kingdom. But we're going to jump back over to the parable again. And again, touch on a few applications here about this parable. And there's three questions, and that's kind of the 3 points tonight. So pretty simple. Well, verse 27, verse 26, we see there what happened. We see while the men slept, the caretakers and the master of this field slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, verse 26, and brought forth fruit, and here's the jumping point for tonight, is then appeared the tares also. Then appeared. And you ever had something in life just kind of appear out of nowhere? Just like, where did that come from? You know, kind of hit you blindsided, or you're going along, you're ticking along pretty good, you know, you're in fifth gear, and all of a sudden you get T-boned. And where in the world did that come from? And I think we all can testify of that. In life, there's sometimes tares pop up unexpectedly. Things we don't plan for, things are not in our schedule, they just simply, they appear. And then we're stuck with these tares. So what do we do with these things? These things that pop up in life. And I think the three questions that are present here in Scripture in the following verses give us some application we can apply to this as we think about the tares in our own life. How do we respond to tares that looks like wheat, but it's really unwanted things in our life, and we're not sure what to do with them? And so three questions. The first question is this. As we think about these tears in life and things we don't want and circumstances and issues and, you know, maybe phone calls or texts from a loved one or whatever the case is, you fill the blank in for your own life. We all have tears in our life. They come out of nowhere at times. And so the first question is this. In the scripture, it says, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him. So we have some servants coming to the landlord, the fellow who owns the field, and he's asked this question, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? So the first thing that pops into your mind is, look at, hey, did you plant good seed? Because we see good seed, but we also see some tares. And so we understand that the answer is yes, he did. It's implied because the following question answers that first question. All right, so yes, he planted good seed. But here's the application for us. As we think about tares in our own life, as we deal with these things that are unexpected, I think we need to ask ourselves this question, number one. Did we sow good seed in our field? Are we possibly the issue why we have tares? Because there's a principle in God's word is called the principle of sowing and reaping. And God is not mocked. We can't get away with anything. And sometimes in our own life, I deal with people at our churches out west and some young people that they come and they have questions and they want help with problems in their life, with tears in their life. And I know these young people, I know these people pretty well, and I'm pretty sure that some of these issues are caused by their own sowing. And I'm careful how I present that. I don't want to be, you know, in that type of you know, spirit towards them. But I see it, and I see it in my own life. It's not just, it's my own life. I've got times in my past where I sowed some bad seed. And it happens. And I think it's the first question we got to ask ourselves is, hey, look, did we sow some bad seed? Did we make a bad decision in life? And things happen. Look, we all make, you know, things by mistake. We're all sinners. We're all human. We make mistakes. And I think sometimes we need to pause instead of pointing fingers. Oh, this person caused it, or maybe this circumstance caused it. Maybe it's simply ourself. We plant some bad seed. And I think it's very appropriate we ask ourselves this question. There in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there are certain things in life you can cause to happen by the things you sow. If you sow the right thing, there's a good expectation to receive the right result. If you sow the wrong seed, you receive the wrong result. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. So understand that, you know, if I want to change what I'm reaping in life, then I need to change what I'm sowing. So you see all these tares in your life. You say, where are these come from? And, you know, automatically our flesh wants to start pointing fingers and try blaming other people. And let's just take the first question. Hey, look, do we sow good seed in our field? Are we the cause of this? Do we, you know, just make some bad decisions in life? Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Understand that all the bad things in your life that ever happened is not all accredited to the devil. All right? We need to be sowing good seed. You say, what do I do if I sow bad seed? And we've all have done that before. What do I do? A great verse for that is in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I love that. We need to pray for mercy that the seed doesn't bear fruit, because those tares are there, all right? And the tares, they will bear fruit. We need to pray to God for mercy that that does not bear fruit, because we don't want any more tares, all right? So are these tares in my life a result of my own sowing? If so, don't complain. Confess it before God and ask for mercy. In our story, the answer is yes, implied that yes, they did sow good seed because the next question is number two, from whence then hath it tares? All right, so why are there tares? Because you did sow good seed. Let's look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and just for a minute here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you ever did a bit of a study through there. And, you know, at first it can seem a little bit of a depressing book. It's not really one of those books you run to when you need encouragement. It's a great book. It's a great book. And written by King Solomon, of course. He wrote Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and some great, great wisdom here in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9, verse 11. And we'll read verse 11 and 12. It says here, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. And here it is, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And there are a lot of things in life I haven't figured out yet, a whole bunch of things, and this is one of them. I don't understand how this works in life. Time and chance happeneth to them all. And even if I were to include those who are not a part of God's kingdom, you know, you read on the different news websites and feeds that you read, you know, throughout your day and throughout your week. And I read something the other day, just really sad, just a sad scenario. I don't even, happened in Florida in America. Some young mom was going down the highway and with her three children in her vehicle. And there's a big semi-truck that blew out a tire right next to her. And it caused the truck to go slam into her vehicle and killed her instantly. And two of her kids, I think, were in hospital and one perished as well. Just random stuff. Just random stuff. Time and chance happened to them all. In fact, in Luke chapter 13, Jesus is dealing with some people that are bringing up a bit of a false theology in the Jewish thinking back in those days. And I see it here today sometimes as well in different cultures around the world. And here's the false theology. People who really sin a lot, who are big sinners, they're going to get lots of punishment. And that was dealt with extensively by Christ himself in Luke chapter 12 into chapter 13. And in fact, chapter 13 there, let me read this to you real quick. And this kind of ties together. Luke 13, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffer such things. So understand there was a temple tragedy. There was a Passover happening, and there were thousands of animals being slaughtered for Passover. And the Galileans were there. The Jewish people were there. And the Romans were sent there to slaughter a bunch of Jewish people. And their blood mingled with the blood of sacrifice. It was a horrendous sight, a horrendous thing. And so the people that were walking with Jesus at this time, they were saying, look at all these, and Jesus knew their thoughts. He's saying, do you think that these were worse sinners, these Galileans, because of what happened to them? In verse number 3, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, no, they were not. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then you have a random tragedy. Verse number 4, or those 18 people. Interesting, just Jesus says 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those 18 people who died by a random event, time and chance happened to them all. A tower simply fell on 18 people and killed them all. Do you think they were sinners above anybody else? No. No, they were not. And Christ brings it right back down. Things happen to all of us. But the important part is this. Except you repent. Because understand, this life is not all there is. There's more to life than this. So the important part is that you're right with God. You're right before him. And that you repented. And you have your eyes on him. And you are born again Christian. So back to Ecclesiastes, verse number 12 there of chapter 9. We'll continue this thought for a moment. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in the evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. All right, we can make that little connection there with that idea and the fact that the terrors and evil time, things you don't want in life that happen. All right, and so question one is satisfied. All right, so question two then is there back in our text in Matthew chapter 13, then from whence then hath the terrors? All right, some things in life will just come out of nowhere. It's called time and chance. And again, I can't explain it. Maybe somebody who's smarter than me can explain this in life. I've contemplated this before. I can't get it. You can't add things up, how the wicked seem to prosper and God's people seem to suffer. I can't understand it. I have no explanation for that. But conflict is bound to happen in the Christian life. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual was opened unto me. It's a massive opportunity I have for service. And, too bad that wasn't there, but he says, and there are many adversaries. Look, there's a massive door of opportunity here, but there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. So in life, there will be things that are intentionally placed in your life that will cause you a problem. You think of Job. We don't need to spend time about it. We all know about Job. This is especially true if you're sowing good seed. And yes, there is an enemy out there. It's real. I was talking to a teacher today on campus, and she had a question about, you know, spiritual warfare and Christians being, how does that work into Christians? Can Christians be, you know, possessed with a demon? And we both came to, you know, an agreement, no, they cannot be possessed. They can be influenced, but they cannot be possessed. If you have the Holy Spirit, that's who you have. And but understand that there is an enemy out there. There's an enemy, and he's wanting to disrupt your good seed. And God allows that in our life, like Job. And so we just got to sit back and contemplate and say, all right, Lord, what is it you want me to learn through this? Because to my knowledge, I've sowed good seed. And things just happen. Time and chance happen to us all of us. So count on some conflict coming into your field. If it hasn't already, all right, to distract you from the good seed, the harvest. From whence then hath it tares? And our third and last here tonight is this. He said unto them, verse 28, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, last part of this verse, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? All right, third question. All right, I think we all would like to do this. Let's go fix it. Let's go take care of it, because like right now, because this is going to be causing a problem for the harvest. If we have the tares growing up, it's going to choke the wheat. It's going to be a disastrous harvest. So let's go right now and just solve the problem. All right, maybe some people are more prone to this than others, and I like fixing things and just solving problems. But some, you know, can care less. I get it. It's fine. We're all different. But understand that we want to fix, though. We want these tares in our life. We want to get out of there. Get these things out of here. And he said, nay, don't do it. Verse 29, while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. All right, so we need to watch out. Here's the third thing. Watch out for quick fixes to unexpected problems. And we're all into quick fixes these days. Everything's fast. And it gets faster and faster as technology advances and life goes on. All right, gone are the days of the microwave. Things today, you have internet 40 years ago. You know, you throw a meal in the microwave, you know. I mean, you got all kinds of quick things today. You have internet in your hand. You know the whole story. You know everything about life. It's quick. Everything's fast. And actually, in your haste, you may actually rip up those good things that God has grown in your life. You may actually tear up the fruit of the Spirit. Those tares that were sown in your field, all right? God allows other things to happen, time and chance happen to all of us. And we want to go out and fix it right away. We're not be there. We just want to get it done, get it sorted, and get it all back to a beautiful paddock once again. And God is growing in all of us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right, the tare could never destroy the wheat. It would never have stopped the wheat from growing. The only thing that would have damaged the wheat is if they tried to rip up the tare at the wrong time. We've all been there. You know, you get an email, you get a text. All right, you wanna quickly respond. I've been there. I'll show that person, man. Sitting there, start giving them a response, and we've all done it. We write it, we sit on it. I've done that before. You sit on it for a while, and then I talk to my wife about it, and she convinces me to delete it and get rid of it. All right, and good thing, I'm glad I did. After thinking about it for a while, I'm glad I didn't send that. That'll just add a fuel to the fire, and that'll have been a disaster. And, you know, there's been times where I have sent it, and I regretted it, so. But it's a quick fix, you know. We want peace. We want resolution. We want a harvest without tares. That's what we want. We want a life without storms. We need to focus on growing the wheat. If you're not careful, you'll end up destroying the very thing that God is trying to grow in your life. Understand that God has great concern for the wheat. He has great concern for the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The wrong timing on the tare could destroy the wheat. So watch out for doing the right thing at the wrong time. You think of Moses, you know, thought he could deliver Israel when he was a prince of Egypt. In his flesh, in his passion, in his zeal, he kills an Egyptian. Let's get rid of this tear. Let's get rid of him. Thinking the Israelites would understand. Next thing, he's a murderer and has to flee. And there's countless illustrations in Scripture to this. People who just, you know, jump to the gun, just jump and try to fix everything right away, a quick fix. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the third thing is just be careful of quick fixes in life. You know, let's just pause, and maybe that was planted there for our growth and for our growing in faith in Him. Let's just stop and consider that. A great verse in closing here in Ecclesiastes, once again, chapter 3, verse 11. He hath, speaking of God Himself, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. In His time. And in our impatience, in our hurriedness, we want to go out and fix things and sort it out. But let's just wait and pause and understand that God's promise is this, that He hath made everything beautiful in His time, not our time. And sometimes we want to, you know, we get impatient and we want to rush things. Let's just be patient and consider what is happening at that moment and say, look, at, you know, I'm just going to wait and see what I need to do with this. May I just got to wait and pause and think about it and see how God is going to work through this in my life. So three questions there. Did you sow good seed in your field? From whence then hath it tares? And then wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And I hope it's a bit of a help to you as we all face challenges of life and issues that pop up and things that we don't want a part of our life, but they're there. They're there. And hopefully it was a bit of an encouragement for you tonight. Lord Jewel.